Amen. Today, I just want to give you a catch-up. As you know, a number of the leadership were away at the Elim conference. If you're not sure what the Elim conference is, we did send an email out where you could connect with some of the main sessions. The Elim conference is where we are part of the Elim Pentecostal movement in the UK. And being a charity, you have an annual meeting where business is carried out, so all the ministers expected to be there, and it's open also to leaders. So it is more of a leadership conference rather than a family conference like it used to be years ago. And it's where the where Chris, who is the superintendent, Chris Cartwright, and the leader and the NLT, the National Leadership Team, can share their vision with the ministers and where they would like to see the movement going, etc. And give input to us as well, so you also get teaching and challenge. And I just want to share a little bit of that with you. Is that okay this morning? Because it was a blessed time. It was a blessed time. It was really helpful for me. It confirmed some stuff and then some. Because sometimes you need a challenge as well, don't you? Amen? So I just want to share a little bit of what went on there with you, of what was said. First of all, with regards to myself personally, as I went to conference, you know that we've been talking about the kingdom, and we're going to be doing that throughout the rest of the year. And on my heart, just to refresh your memory, was a focus on the kingdom of God, recognizing that our nation is in a confused state because of changes in the law, changes with regards to sexuality, changes with religious beliefs in our nation, changes with relationships and ethical issues. The whole thing has been turned on its head. And there's confusion. And it's trickled down from adults to kids, to youth and to children. And, you know, I really felt very clear that they need to hear a clear message. A clear message. They don't want the same. It's evident by what's going on. They're hearing a different voice and they're following a different voice. What they don't need is more of the same. What they need is something different. What they need is Jesus. What they need is the church alive and kicking. And we need, first of all, to be a people who are a kingdom people. We live by His rules. That's the way that we live our lives. And then, when we then demonstrate that new society ruled by Him to the rest of the world, well, beginning with the rest of our nation. So we need to be clear so that we can then demonstrate how we live and people can see the difference. What they don't need is the church to be the same as the world, because it's nothing different. And so that's really important. That was where my heart was, and that's why we started looking at kingdom. And first of all, we've got to be clear on what we believe and who we follow and what rules we live by, and then to be able to clearly demonstrate that. And there should be a difference. Amen? Because the kingdom of God works. Because we have God as our head. Not only that, we will then also seek to back it up with the why. When God says certain things, why does He say that? Because God doesn't make mistakes. And when He says something is good, it's good. When He says something is bad or it's wrong or it's bad. And it works. And so we need to be clear on that, and we need to be clear on being able to explain why I believe what I believe, why I stand and I behave this way and not that way. And that's really, so I went to conference. That's what's been on my heart and on my mind for us here at Romford Elim Church. Going to conference, the heading of conference was co-mission, co-missioned. Commissioned, referring, of course, to Matthew 28, where we get go. Go. I always remember a sermon. Do you remember that sermon? I can't remember his name now. He was a great sort of an evangelist, but a brilliant guy. Way back in sort of I would say the 80s, at one of our conferences when it used to be a family conference. And I remember him preaching a sermon, "Where has the go-ye gone?" Where has the go-ye gone? Pushing the church to say, hey, don't stop going. Don't settle for what you've got, because there's many, many more who need to get what you've got. They need to hear about Jesus. And the commission that Jesus set was go into all the world. And so this conference was commissioned, referring back to that thrust and desire for the church to go. There's four principles that, as a movement, Chris introduced and wants the church to focus on until 2030. And it's basically: 1, making disciples; 2, developing leaders; 3, growing church or churches, which includes planting, which includes healthy churches as well, and reaching nations. Those are the four elements, because Elim has a big mission side of it overseas, and is bigger overseas than it is now here. So yeah, those were the four things. Now, he didn't speak on those four things because that's already been set since a couple of years ago. But the emphasis on this particular one was to take one of those, and it was that mission side to go, to build church. And so that's why he's focused on commissioned. The next year, it might well be about discipleship. The year after that, it might be about leadership. We'll see as it unfolds, but this time, it was on that mission, that commission to go. Called to the harvest is what he began his talk with. And he said, what we need is a fresh experience of passion and a fresh experience of power. Fresh experience of passion and a fresh experience of power. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah has that incredible encounter with God, where God says, who will go? Who will go to my people and declare the truth? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Now, as I go on, a lot's going to be directed at us, at you. And I do want you to take it personally, as I took it personally. Who will go? Send me. They were in times of change as a nation. They were not where they were, should be with God. And God needed to raise up his man. And that was Isaiah. And Isaiah was willing to say, when God said, gave the opportunity, here I am, send me. And we need to have that same attitude today. Here I am, Lord, send me. Now, there can be hindrances to being sent by God. It doesn't necessarily mean to be a pastor. It doesn't necessarily mean to be an evangelist. It doesn't necessarily mean to be a prophet. What it means is, here I am, I'm ready to serve with whatever you've given me to do. Whatever that is, I am willing. Amen? Here I am. And it was in that time of change that he chose Isaiah. Matthew chapter 9, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So the harvest field is not short. What is short is laborers. There's a lot to go at. There's more unbelievers or believers of other faiths in the UK than Christians. Amen? Which means the harvest field is plentiful, but the workers are few. And that doesn't mean we need an evangelist. We do. Amen? Doesn't mean we need a prophet. What it does mean is we need people who will witness, who will open their mouths for Jesus, who will live the life before others so that they start to ask questions. That's what we do need. Amen? And then Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, he read this verse. I remember the devotion of your youth, How as a bride, you loved me. This is speaking about Israel, speaking to Israel. And followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. One of those kind of verses that you just read over very quickly as you're reading the whole passage. And it's a great, chapter 1 and chapter 2, Jeremiah, absolutely amazing. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. And Chris was saying, we're living in a land of a different landscape to what it used to be. It's a wilderness. It's a wilderness. The UK is a wilderness. And there is a need for a different voice to be heard. Different beliefs, different ethics. They need to see a different kingdom. So as he was preaching this, my ears are going, yes, yes. Because I'm thinking, yep, yep, we're on the right track here. We're in line with, God is saying something. When I'm saying in line with, I mean that God is saying something. If he's saying it to more than one person, you've got to start listening. And God is saying something about kingdom. And a land not sown needs sowing was where he was coming from. Because they need to see something different. And so he was encouraging us to sow. And to sow in all kinds of ways. Not just gossiping the gospel, absolutely vital, but it could be prayer. Because how many of you know that prayer is a sowing exercise? So often we don't see immediately the prayer answer that we're looking for. It is a sowing exercise. Farmers sow in faith, believing that what they do and the work that they do is going to produce a crop. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time for that crop to grow. And similarly for us, when we sow and share Jesus, it doesn't always happen. In fact, some may say, no. But I tell you, we are going to be surprised when we get to heaven. Because there's going to be people there that we might well have shared something with. And we thought they'd said no. And there they are. Because years later, the seed that had been planted bore fruit. Amen? So we cannot let the immediate results knock us back. We have to continue to sow sparingly. You know, that picture of the sower and the seed. It's not that he goes, yeah, I'll just sow a little bit in this. No, he's there. Whoosh, whoosh, throwing the seed far and wide. And that's what we need. And that's not just for Romford Ealing Church. That's for the church in the UK. We need to sow sparingly, extravagantly. So for me, you know, there was a confirmation about kingdom. Yeah, it was a confirmation that about the state of our nation. He described it as a wilderness that needs to be sown. And confirmed that there were different beliefs, different standards and ethics, and we have to stand by ours so that people could see. So all that bit really was a great confirmation. So I was lapping that up. That verse stuck in my mind, Jeremiah 2, verse 2. That I read to you. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. And so I read through Jeremiah when I got home. And I looked at what God said to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, he says to Jeremiah, his chosen man, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And I appointed you. And he says those same words to us. Before you were formed in the womb, God knew you. And he appointed you. You have been appointed. So you are not insignificant. You have been actually appointed by God to be who you are, to live where you're living, to work where you're working at this point in time. Wherever you find yourself, you are God's man, God's woman. And you have been appointed at that place. At that moment in time. Jeremiah's response was, Lord, I'm a child. I don't know how to speak. He wasn't saying, I'm not a child of God, because we are all, those who accept Jesus become children of God. What he was saying was, I am weak. I am inexperienced. I don't know. You know, I'm not a speaker. And yet God chose him, probably the most difficult, apart from Jesus himself, the most difficult task to do of all the prophets. Because he had to say to his own people, the Jews, unless you change your ways, God is going to allow the Babylonians to conquer you. They didn't change, so his message had to then be surrender. This is God's punishment. This is God's direction. If you resist the Babylonians, you will be destroyed. Now, that is the same as saying in the Second World War to the United Kingdom, when the Nazi regime was really pushing and the bombs were flying, it was like Lord Haw-Haw. Lord Haw-Haw was the voice in the UK who was saying, surrender. Germany is too powerful, too strong for you. And he was branded what? A traitor. If you have someone within your own ranks who's saying to you, surrender, allow the enemy to conquer you, then you are branded a traitor. But that's the message that basically Jeremiah was asked to speak. And it wasn't as if he was, you know, a Babs, big and strong. He was more like me, slim and weedy. Yeah? And you know, he had his own issues of fearfulness and anxiety and stuff. He was a timid guy of nature. So to be given a message like that, he said, Lord, who am I, my child? I don't know how to speak. God says to him, don't be afraid. I am sending you. I will put my words in your mouth. Words that will uproot kingdoms, tear down, uproot, destroy, and overthrow. Wow. Words to build and to plant. Do you know that the message that you have plants and can build a person's life? Can build a person's life. I know people within our youth in Leeds who are now serving the Lord, who for some you thought they would never make it. But the words that you've spoken, that you said, have borne the fruit, and it's built something in their lives. Every person comes to a point of decision, either yes or no. And we mustn't get discouraged if it appears the answer is no, even if it's our children. We must be faithful sowers, faithful builders, believing the word of God when it says, when a child is old, it will come back to what it learnt in its youth. Amen. We have to stand on that in faith at times. We will see fruit. And he continues, don't be terrified. Don't be terrified of anyone. Today, Jeremiah, you are a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall. So if you come against stubbornness, your forehead is harder. Amen? If you come against an obstacle, you are stronger. So turn to someone and say, you are a fortified city. An iron pillar, a bronze wall. Now, you might not feel like it. You may not feel... Oh, you'd have to repeat that. Sorry, you'd have to repeat that. what was I saying now? You might not feel like that. If you're honest, you may feel really weak and timid. Join the club. I never ever wanted to be a pastor. I just wanted people to like me. He says that's what he's going to make him. And then he says, you will overcome, for I am with you. And do you know what? Jeremiah did it. He was beaten, he was thrown, he was branded a traitor, he was thrown into a well, he was left to die there, he was taken into exile. Babylon did come, did conquer, destroyed them, took them away. All the stuff that he prophesied came to pass, and their rebellion was crushed. But he paid a price in terms of his family, in terms of his own thinking he was a traitor with that kind of a message. But his words came to pass. And he didn't fail. He didn't fail. He did what God required of him. And we have the benefit of it now in scriptures that we learn from. Amen? And so, yeah, as I read that, I thought, yeah, oh Lord, help me. And this thought came to my mind. I thought, wow, you know, I'm 65 this year. You know, time's drawing to a close. Time's drawing to a close. And the obviously we're with leaders in the movement there. I'm thinking, wow, you know, the danger is slowing down. As you get older, you do get tired. There's certain things you can't do anymore. And, you know, you seem to go to the toilet all the time. But things do change. But immediately the story of Caleb came to my mind, who when he was 40, it was him and Joshua, when they came to the promised land, said, come on, let's take it. God is with us. He's promised us. And then there was 10 who said, no, the enemy's too big. The barriers are too great. We can't do it. We'll be defeated and crushed. And they lost the moment. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness until they came back to the very same point, but this time with children of faith under Joshua. And they took the land. And at the forefront, who was there at the forefront? Caleb, now 80 years of age. And he said, God promised me this plot here, this bit in this land. I want to take it. Let's go! With his walking stick. Let's go, we're taking it. And he still had that passion, he still had the desire, he still had the faith as when he had it 40 years ago. And God challenged me, Glenn, you can't lose that passion. You can't lose that faith. You can't lose that Pentecostal experience which marks you out. You need that. Yes, we have to have the young people. We have to have the teenagers. We have to have the young adults coming through and taking charge. Amen? We do. And I realize that. But as a pastor, what's the point? They ain't going to come through if I'm sort of saying, oh, yeah, can you do that, please? Yeah, yeah. You know, what kind of example is that? I have to have the fire. And as a movement, we're old. There's a big old section of retirement coming up in the movement. And so it's really important. It's been great on the MSB, on the interview panel that I'm on. Lots of young people, young adults coming through, and it's fantastic. But I was wanting to say to our brothers, 50 plus, but guys, we mustn't lose passion. We mustn't lose out on this because we have to pass it on. We have to pass on. We have to pass on the fire of the Spirit of God. We have to pass on the Pentecostal experience because we need the Holy Spirit. If we're going to ever accomplish any of this, if we're going to be bronze walls and iron pillars and fortified cities, well, we can't do that on our own. We need God in us to help us be like that so that we can speak with power and effectiveness. In the late 70s, when I became a Christian, Pentecost was a cult. It was viewed as a cult by the churches in this country. And, you know, I had my issues of making friends just because I was an immigrant into white society. So it took a long time to make friends. And then I thought, I believed in God, but then to actually commit my life to Jesus, well, that's just another problem. I've come this way and I don't want to lose more friends that I've just made. So that held me back until the day that Matthew 6:33 hit me in the face. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, put me first and I'll take care of all these other stuff. But if you never put me first, you'll continually be struggling and you'll never get to the point of accepting me. And so I put him first and praise God. Never look back. He sorted all those things out in a way that I never thought was possible. And then I stepped into a Pentecostal church, a totally different world. Totally different world. And it was clear that Pentecost was viewed, looked down on by the established church, Anglican, Baptist, etc., etc. Almost we were viewed as a cult. Did it stop us? It didn't. We preached the gospel. We had a conviction that people needed Jesus. Not to know about him, but to know him. And the difference was heaven or hell. Hell is very real. Separation from God forever. And we don't want any, so we felt that. I remember feeling, I'm thinking, do I feel that now? Do I feel that same hurt? People going to a lost eternity. And that's the challenge. When he says about, I remember the devotion of your youth. How as a bride you loved me and followed me into the wilderness or through the wilderness in a land not yet sown. And that's how it was back then. We were wandering through and literally felt like you were on a limb because you were Pentecostal. Oh, those happy clappies, all those swinging from chandeliers, the people that others used to make fun of. I still had the chandelier at home. And so we fell on a wing in that sense. But it didn't stop us. People got saved. Family members got saved. Because we had a passion for Jesus. And we felt the message we have changes lives. It builds something in people's lives. It brings truth. It is the best way to live. Following Christ. And we need that same passion now. More than ever. Because once again, we're being pushed out onto a wing. But not just Pentecostal. The church of God is being pushed out by godless philosophies, which are fine in the world's eyes, but not in God's eyes. And so they need to see something different. We need to not only believe it, but practice it, live it, show them a different society. And that doesn't matter what age we are. That passion needs to be there, recognizing that we can't do this. We can't do it on our own, in our own strength. We need the Spirit of God in us. And allowing him to move us and change us so that we can be his mouthpiece. So, that was my first point. We'll have to carry this on next week. I'll share one or two other things, important points. But friends, this morning, I really want to challenge you as I was challenged. And it's not often we talk about I in Christian circles because we always say it's not about me, it's about him. Yeah? But I want to talk about I. Here am I. Is that where you're standing this morning? Are you in that place to say to the Lord, Lord, here I am. Send me. Recognizing that if you say that, God will use you. Might not be easy, but he will also equip you. The same Spirit that is in you raised Christ from the dead. Amen. He doesn't send you out alone. But what he does want is you to be hungry and thirsty for him more than all the problems and all the issues and all the fears that may come your way for standing for Jesus. And the only way we can do that is with his empowering. So, I'd like us to stand. No. Sorry. I'd like you to stand. To stand, if you're saying this morning, here am I. Here am I. And I'd love you to surrender. I'd love you to surrender. And normally when you surrender, you do this. That's what raising the hand's all about. If you are willing to surrender, just raise your hands, if you're able. And let's use the words of that song. Lord, I will make room for you in my life to do whatever you want to. Father, if there are people here today you want to make into pastors, I say amen. Amen. If there are people you want to make into evangelists, I say amen. Amen. If there are people here you want to be make into prophets, apostles, I say amen. Amen. If there are people you want to make into administrators, I say amen. If there are people here, Lord, you want to make with the gifts of helps, I say amen. Amen. Lord, whatever it is, you have a great workforce here, Lord God. And we want to make the best use of the gifts you have given us by your Spirit. Lord, there is a wilderness around us. And we are saying this morning, here am I. Please, send me. And we are trusting that you will equip us, Lord, to be successful in the things of God, not necessarily in the things of the world. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll carry on this on my next preach. We'll carry on from there. Amen. Part two. Look forward to that. Yes. Amen. Praise God. By the way, you can look online. I think it's on the Elim website, on the Elim YouTube, and you can get, and it's Chris Cartwright. It's the Elim ELS conference. Chris Cartwright's message. Danielle Strickland, her message. And Boyd. I really recommend those to hear. I'll be picking up bits from that. But otherwise, God bless you. There are refreshments and stuff there, so don't have to rush away. And if you do want to volunteer to be a helper, do see Joke behind there, and she'd be delighted to put you on the list. Otherwise, God bless you. Don't forget to make contact with Mike as well about the family day away.